Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I'm lost in laundry or getting things done around the house, and one of my kids will invite me in to join them in some kind of activity.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Jenny Graby.
Whether it's getting on the floor and playing Legos or making a batch of, you know, pretend cookies or just going for a walk in the neighborhood. And honestly, I wish I could say, I just stop what I'm doing and I just say a hearty yes to every single invitation. But I don't always, because I feel the weight of getting everything done. But the times where I am able to slow down and say, yes, let's step into this moment together to build relationship, those are always the best parts of the day. And the truth is, that's where our relationship with our kids is built.
Yeah.
When we slow down to take that time to just be with them, what we're communicating to them is, I delight in you.
More on creating family rhythms at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Did you know that Tackins offers the only full-service shoe and boot repair service on the Central Coast? Does your favorite pair of shoes or boots need a fix? New heels or soles, or a quick conditioning for those favorite boots or shoes that fit just a little tight? Breathe some life back into your favorite footwear with the only full-service shoe repair in the county. Tackins, with locations in San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, and online at tackins.shoes. Tackins Shoes, family-owned and operated since 1937.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Imagine taking a deep breath and nothing happens. No, I mean nothing, as though you had never inhaled at all. That happened to Chris one night just after dinner. He took a breath, and yet he did not. Predictably, he panicked. He tried to breathe again and again, but his oxygen-starved bloodstream could not be force-fed. Then came the cramping, then the diaphragmatic spasms. An ambulance arrived in time, and Chris was rushed to Good Samaritan Hospital, Los Angeles. There was emergency treatment followed by tests, and the test results were astonishing. Chris's lungs were coated with a fine dust. Aluminum dust? Aluminum dust. Now this is the rest of the story. Once upon a time, Chris had been a pre-med student, and show business was the furthest thing from his mind. But when his family went broke in Florida's land boom, Chris dropped out of school and went to New York in search of work. His dancing instructor father had encouraged him to take dance lessons years previous. Broadway needed good dancers. So Chris got a job in the chorus of a musical. There followed more musicals and better parts. And before he knew it, Chris was performing musical comedy in Hollywood. And he was a star under contract to MGM. He also appeared in loan outs to 20th Century Fox. But then, one autumn, Chris was offered the role of a lifetime. It was a part in a surefire hit picture that would make his a household name forever after. It was a most unusual role, requiring an exotic costume and makeup, but within 4 weeks of rehearsals, there was plenty of time to experiment to get everything just right. The makeup artists finally settled on clown white grease paint, followed by generous powder puffing of pure aluminum dust. In one 10-hour shooting, Chris would be powdered 24 or more times, and each of those times he would be breathing the metallic dust, taking more and more of it into his lungs. It was very early in the production that Chris was rushed to the hospital. His skin was a brilliant blue. He struggled for each breath, and yet beneath his oxygen tent he continued to receive telephone calls from the studio. The moguls, characteristically short on sympathy, now were furious. Chris could not possibly be sick, they insisted. He was due on the set. But Chris was sick, a severe reaction to his metal dust makeup. And although after many weeks he did recover, chronic bronchitis plagues him to this day. The once-in-a-lifetime movie role that went to another actor, on whom the makeup artists used aluminum paste instead of dust. After losing the part, Chris's show business career went into a tailspin. More than two decades would pass before he reemerged as a television superstar of the first magnitude. And so it is Jack Haley, whom generations of children have loved and remembered as the Tin Woodman in The Wizard of Oz. But because Chris was allergic to tin, he had to drop out of Dreamland, only to strike it rich in 1962 as Jed Clampett of the Beverly Hillbillies, and again as a charming and tenacious detective called Barnaby Jones. Ah, yes, you've long admired Chris. That's his Christian name, Christian, but you've always called him Buddy. Buddy Ebsen, and now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. We're talking about a series, Eye on Tie, that Cal Coast News published. I have Eric Gorham in the studio with me. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, Karen. Hi, Eric. I have my own copy of the Brown Act. and I gave a copy of this, page 19, the last two paragraphs. It's under public testimony to Mr. Paulding and others when they couldn't understand that the public had a right to criticize them. It specifically says when public testifies before a legislative body that that body may not prohibit that individual from criticizing the policies, procedures, programs, and services of that agency or the acts or omissions of that body.
And nor can they be sued over it. The public cannot be sued. The public cannot legally be sued over things they say during public comment.
No, you have the right that on something they did or something they are planning to do to criticize them if you feel so inclined to do so. You're not supposed to use foul language or nothing, but you have the right to tell them whatever you want. And what you were talking about before with these meetings with people, that's ex parte. That's a Latin term where they're meeting with people to get one side of a story to come up with a decision that that person wants them to come up to. And all of those ex parte meetings are supposed to be disclosed before they vote in public on what they're doing. And they need to explain their connection. This happens on a regular basis, and they don't. We've gone back through minutes and found tons of meetings that Supervisor Gibson has participated in and then made votes at the board. And these were meetings from his two fake water district buddies where he's already agreed to stuff before it gets to the board and they throw it in consent. Your police chief is known as a malingerer. That's a person claiming an injury to get out of trouble.
And he's currently the city manager of Paso Robles.
Yeah. So they might not like these terms. They're all legal terms. They're all in the books. And they need to, you know, stand responsible for those. Hey, don't do those things if you don't want to be criticized on them.
Yeah, I think it's kind of your right regardless, you know. When you go into, it doesn't matter, you know, city council, board of supervisors, whatever it is, when you're a public official, whether, you know, you could be criticized on stuff that's legitimate, illegitimate, it doesn't matter. It's part of the job. And when you're a high-ranking official, like Ty is, and, you know, whether and that could be a city attorney, it could be a city manager, it could be a county manager, it doesn't matter. You're a high-ranking official. People can still hold you to that standard, and I think that's the basis kind of what he's trying to say is he shouldn't be held to a standard, unless I'm wrong.
You've got to have the same standard. They got to show you the same difference. You're at those meetings, and they'll take 15 minutes at the end of the meeting when they get to speak, and you got to speak for 3 minutes.
Right.
And try to make you look like you don't know what you're talking about, because they're embarrassed on the fact, which is the only reason to take the facts and the legal documents with you. So if they want to disclaim them, when they go into closed session. So, I filed 6 Brown Act violations against Bruce Gibson, and I won most of them. And I know other people that have had too, and that was at the beginning of the thing. And all I was trying to do was show that this is a regular thing that happens every meeting. Well, the San Juan Water District went into closed session 5 times and spent almost $500,000 or more for 2 water applications, try to get water out of Nacimiento and the Salinas River. And they did it with the pretense of pending litigation, which was a lie. And their attorney was with them, all 5 of those meetings. And they got a Brown Act violation from the district attorney's office. But there's not enough teeth in these penalties. They should have been fined. Those applications should be null and void because they were done illegally. And the State Water Control Board is still looking at them because, who used to work with the DWR and the State Water Control Board? One of the guys on their board, Steve Senton, was a lawyer for the DWR. Imagine that.
And one of the things that Cal Coast News is doing, we're working to cover more of the big issues in San Luis Obispo County. So we're trying to get a group of experts in different fields. Greg Graywall, I believe, is the biggest expert in the county regarding water issues. And they're going to be covering meetings and working with reporters to put out articles on very important things so we can provide the coverage that, as media's have taken a hit in the last few years. They don't have as much ability financially to do the reporting. So we're working with this. Greg will be doing this. Greg, I'm going to thank you for calling in, and I'm going to take another caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Good afternoon. This is Julie.
Hey, Julie. And we're talking today about a couple things. The arguments regarding public officials cannot be told that they're doing something wrong. One of the arguments is that Ty Lewis is upset because people are critical, that Chris Bausch is critical during meetings and doesn't agree and comes out with arguments against what the others are pushing, and that should not be allowed. And part of his suit was that it was also a conspiracy for, and again, this didn't happen, but if I was hosting meetings and telling people I don't think Ty Lewis does a good job, what can we do to get him out of business, that would be a criminal conspiracy.
That's ridiculous.
And what do you think about the Tribune saying, the Tribune and people like Clive Pender, and saying that is a criminal conspiracy?
Well, I was an elected official at one time, Karen, and I think the public needs a dissenting voice. And Chris and I were elected to our positions based on might be the minority of the community, but it is the voice of a portion of the community. And you, Chris, has the right, certainly, to criticize the city manager. He has the right to advocate for his removal if he wanted to. It's just a matter of time to turn over the board to that position if that is the community's will. So that there's dissension on a board, no board should be lockstep. That is what you'll find is dangerous, is when everybody on the board continues to be in sync. And you really need that differing opinion so that you get a full broad spectrum of what the community is about.
Yes, and are you surprised, though, that the Tribune and his name is Clive Pender. He writes at a column for the Daily News. And are you surprised that both of them are trying to push allegations that this is a criminal conspiracy?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Of course, surprised, but ridiculous, because that's what the people want. That's who they put in office. And, you know, when my constituents called me, I raised the issues that they asked me about with my manager, and, you know, wasn't always satisfied. But that doesn't mean there's a conspiracy or that there's any need for the majority board and everyone to walk lockstep. I think it's unprofessional for the Tribune to take that stance. They should also be representing the broad spectrum of the community. And it looks like they've taken a side, and that is not reporting. I was on my high school newspaper, but I know that you have to walk that middle of the road and represent all sides of an issue when you do write a story.
And I look at the Paso Robles Daily News, I believe it is, who's Clive's writing for, and it's kind of just commentary on everything. You know, they're looking at what Karen's saying. They're looking at what the Tribune's saying. I'm not sure, is it who's writing the articles over there?
Clive Chloe,
or at the Tribune.
Well, Chloe.
So you got Clive writing about what Chloe's doing, what Karen's doing, what Ty's saying, what John. And it's more, it's, you know, what the Paso Daily News kind of, they're not reporting on any news. It's kind of just going to MSNBC and listening to commentary on the news. And they're at the same point, they're kind of making fun of the whole thing. So I find their take on this, quite a few stories, is just kind of strange to me. It's no longer news. They've turned into commentary and bad humor.
Well, I want to bring something out. Clive Pender contacted me trying to get a copy of the tape. I was at that meeting at the coffee shop. He wanted a copy of the tape. And then he told me that he was hoping that Ty Lewis, he said, I believe he's an employee. I believe he deserves a settlement. I'm hoping he gets a settlement. And then he said they're going to talk about it in closed session, and they're going to go over the investigation. And I asked him how he knew, and he told me he's personally getting the inside scoop from Ty Lewis, and while trying to help Ty Lewis put out this. But I'm going to go over a couple things that Pender said that are absolutely untrue. He said this is going to be a huge hit to the taxpayer, that Karen Vealey will not get, and the city won't give up the tape, and Bausch won't give up the tape. I'll go into that more. Clive, you don't understand the Public Records Act. The most you can get is $5,000 from a court, the biggest fine. You have to have violated the law. If the city does not have the tape, they don't have to turn it over. There is going to be no fine that the city has to pay because they don't have a copy of it. And the other thing is, I'm a reporter. I'm protected by Reporter Shield laws. I don't need to give you my information. I don't need to tell you how I do my job. I don't need to give you my work, nor do I need to give it to the Tribune. I am absolutely protected. Him calling it the Inquirer to report this stuff, no, Clive, this is journalism. He says that there was an order served on O'Hagan. I called him before I left today. He said he was never served with an order. The article is just full of support for Ty Lewis getting a payout from the city. It is not fact, and I believe it's actually libel. What do you think, Julie?
It very well could be libel. It's if he knowingly is making false statements, I think you have a case, Karen. It is interesting, and I don't know the arrangement with the Paso Robles paper and Mr. Pender. You know, does he advertise? Does he pay to have a column? You know, what is that relationship, and why is he getting so much ink? I am a contributor as an opinion writer, and Paso Robles has published my opinions as well, but I'm certainly not getting a column, and I'd be curious what that relationship is.
No, exactly. I mean, Clive does fancy it. He has his radio show, and I know he does write. I don't know if he got hired by them. I mean, I don't know.
He pays for the spot.
He pays for the spot. Okay. So.
And I'm talking about his radio show.
Okay.
Oh, right, right. Well, that gives him, you know, some bent if he's got a way to have a regular column or a regular radio show. I write a lot just because I have to get stuff off my chest. And I'm happy that the different papers pick it up from time to time, including Paso Robles Press. But they don't. I don't have a relationship that gives me a platform. I'm just grateful that the different papers will publish from time to time. So, you know, where is he? Is he just speaking from fact? You know, when I write an article, I try to back it up with documentation because I don't want people thinking that, you know, somehow I have made up a story or any of that. So, and I know that's what you do too, Karen, in your role as a reporter. You got the facts to back your stories, and that's where opinion is a little slippery.
And, you know, remember back in the day when I was writing about Adam Hill, and there was a concentrated effort. I believe Tom Foulkes and several other people were involved. They even had an ad on, it's Craigslist, saying they wanted to pay a PR person to change public opinion. Someone applied to it, called us, and said that was Tom Foulkes' business, and it was to write stuff about Dan and I to ruin our reputations. And I was attacked at the time. They went after my grandchildren. They claimed I was a felon, which is untrue. I'd been in a mental hospital. One of them even said my daughter, who had just died, was the spawn of Satan. They went after my family aggressively. And now that Pinder is acting very much like he calls me names, Cruella DeVille, very unprofessional, I am again getting attacked on social media. I'm a felon again. They were writing some things about a grandchild. It's right back to this harassment based on what I call trolls, not journalists. But we're going to take a break from our sponsors, and we're going to be back with more with Eric Gorham.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth McDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with an early rally fading and Wall Street's weekend to last year carrying over into the new year with the major averages falling. Shares of Tesla tumbling 6% and weighing on the NASDAQ and S&P 500 in the wake of its latest disappointing report. Fourth quarter deliveries missed Wall Street estimates, and Tesla also posted an annual sales decline for the first time in over a decade. Big tech stocks were mixed with shares of Nvidia, whose chips are powering the world's move into AI technology, rose 3%. After its 170% jump last year. The Dow winners today, Nvidia, McDonald's, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow decliners, Apple, Sherwin-Williams, and Salesforce. The Dow down 152 points. The NASDAQ lower by 30. S&P 500 down 13. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Ronelle Baldwin, CEO and founder of Dignified Hope Care. Our company has been providing exceptional care to seniors across the Central Coast from Paso to Orchid for over 8 years. We are the only caregiving company to have all licensed care staff that are EMTs, CNAs, and medical assistants. Along with having a nursing staff that can assist in medication management or nursing shift needs. Our company has expanded care needs to include post-op care for plastic surgery patients, new mother care, and now we have a red light therapy room in our downtown SLO office on Marsh Street. This light therapy has been known to stimulate faster healing after surgery and illnesses. Quality and not quantity is how we ensure our patients are best cared for. Call us at 805-510-1234 or go to dignifiedhopecare.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News, no paywall. Today I have Eric Gorham. He is a political watchdog. He goes to meetings. He knows what's going on in the community. He is also the manager of Madrone Landscape, a very well-known landscaping business in the community. And we are talking about Ty Lewis's attempt to get a payout from the city and some of the issues with media that are going on because of it. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, how are you folks today?
I'm doing good.
I think you're spot on about what a joke the Telegram Tribune has become. There were years ago that a day didn't go by that I didn't pick up and read the whole paper through and through. I stopped that a long time ago when they became the Inquirer. That is all I refer to them at this point as. If you want a good laugh, you read the Tribune. It's not worth reading unless you want to laugh or want lies spoke to you. But I believe Cal Coast News, and with the clearly the stories that you, Karen, have brought to the table and exposed all this corruption that actually is taking place, how could the Tribune not be jealous? And because they do nothing. And over the years, you are the source, if you want actual news, that you would go to. No one with any sense would look towards the Telegram Tribune for actual facts. And that's all you deal with is nothing but facts.
One of my biggest issues right now with the Tribune has to go with the way they're handling the Ty Lewis issue. Again, I was at that meeting. I made a tape. I told Clive Penner tried to get a copy of the tape. And then the Tribune wrote an article that it appears it's criminal that they're not giving up the tape, and they could be criminally in trouble. Both of them could be criminally in trouble without saying what they're talking about. I want to explain real quick. I did call the First Amendment Coalition. What happened was a few years ago, there was some case law that said if you're a government official and you go to a meeting and you tape it and that you're talking or you get public records or whatever from a meeting, or those are now public records. They do not need to be handed over to the city unless they're asked for. They do not need to be retained. So Chris Bausch makes a recording in March. If someone asked for that recording when he had it, there is a requirement for him to hand it out. Many public officials record meetings. But again, you ask 8 months later, the Tribune asked for it, and Clive Pender wants a copy of it. There is no record requirement if you no longer have a recording to give over the recording. I don't know if I don't know what reasoning has been put out. I don't know if he says he doesn't have it. I don't know if he's saying that I have some. There are a lot of exemptions to putting out public records. Look at the city. They're redacting parts of claims, which doesn't appear to be legal. They're not giving out documents claiming it's part of this. I don't know why Chris Bausch is not giving them out, but I know that I'm not liable for anything under the Public Records Act. And both Pender and Chloe Jones have ordered me to explain what I was doing there, why I was there, to explain my reporting, my sources, to give up my tape. Well, guess what? I am not required to do any of that, and I'm actually protected by the report. It's called the Reporter Shield Law in California. I don't have to give it up, and I'm not going to. I work on something. I'm not going to give it up to you. But what I can tell the public is I did not, bar none, get a tape from Chris Bausch at the same time the Tribune and Pender were asking for it. Remember, the Pender and the Tribune didn't ask for it for after about 8 months. How many people keep tapes after 8 months? I don't know what Chris Bausch's reasoning is behind this. But I can tell you the reporting in the Tribune and by Pender are absolutely ridiculous. And the idea, again, that the city is going to be out taxpayer money, like was written, like Pender wrote. Let me explain how this works. My editor is Bill Loving. Bill Loving used to also be the chair of the Cal Poly Journalism Department. He also writes two of the leading university textbooks on media law. There were some requests by his students, not me, asking for documents from Cal Poly. Cal Poly would give me the documents, but they weren't responding to students. So 8 months later, they're still trying to get them. He sued the city the Cal Poly and said they have violated the Public Records Act. It actually was a lawsuit. They went into settlement agreements ordered by the judge. What they agreed was that pay the cost of the suit. They gave the documents over and they wrote a statement out. We will start following the Public Records Act in all cases. That is how every single lawsuit I've ever seen has come out. They do have a legal right to do a $5,000 claim against this also. I've never seen it happen. So, Clive, the city is not going to be out a bunch of money, and the city's going to be out nothing because the city doesn't have the tape. I'm going to be out nothing because I'm not required to give anything up. You have to look at the law, and what the city will be out money is if they give a $2 million settlement to Ty Lewis. But thank you for calling in. We're going to take another caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation? You're on the air.
I have my history with Mr. Lewis, and I just want to let the public know that, in my opinion, this is a man that should not be sitting in that seat. I believe there was a tremendous amount of work that he did during the election cycle, using not only himself, but his, I think, girlfriend or whoever she is. I believe there was election interference coming out of the city hall. I believe that suggesting that I was part of a conspiracy. Hey, I want everybody to know, I put my concerns about Mr. Lewis in writing. I didn't hide it. There was no conspiracy. Mr. Lewis, in my opinion, is a bad guy. And that bad guy is your city manager. And the fact that this mayor of this city doesn't think that's a problem, or there's two others who seem to not think that's a problem, that's a problem. And I haven't said anything yet publicly, except for what you're hearing right now since the election, but I will say this. I may be saying a lot more.
So, Michael, tell us how you really feel, right?
You know what? This is very personal to me because
I know.
Not only did that man assault me, it's not funny. It's not a joke. This is very serious. When you have somebody that will assault a community member for showing up in a meeting, which was, by the way, corroborated by a witness, I've got to tell you, there's a problem. It's not funny. It's not a game. This is serious business. And people need to understand that as long as you have that corruption in City Hall, and as long as they're doing things like interfering in elections, you guys, this city has a big, big problem.
No, I don't disagree with you, Michael. I think the city in the last year has kind of proven itself to be an embarrassment to itself. And it's really up to the people that live here to kind of take control and push back, I think. And I hopefully there's enough people like yourself that will get up and say, enough's enough. Let's fix this, because it is really becoming, you know, the whole county is talking about past Robles and what an embarrassment it is when you listen to media.
Let me just finish by saying one last thing. If everybody likes what happened in this election cycle, they can send a card to Jeff Carr, because I told him at the beginning this is what was going to happen. Because I assure you, if I would have made it there, Mr. Lewis would not, I would do everything in my power to make sure he was not an employee of the city of Paso Robles. And secondly, if you do like the fact that Mr. Carr did what he did, then you need to send him you need to say, you know what, that was uncool. Because there was no way that guy was going to get elected. Okay?
No, we had two elections
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, Karen. I have a belief that Ty Lewis adopted the policy. It's a well-known statement that says the best offense is a good defense. And I think he got caught. When he got caught doing something potentially wrong with Dixon Resources, I think he went on the defense. That's immediately after that is when he had an anxiety attack, when he refused basically to confront Dixon about their privacy policy. And remember, that privacy policy means that you get to know who Dixon sells their information to. And that was very important, and Ty Lewis refused to do that. And again, right after that, he had his anxiety attack. And I think that when you do that kind of thing, it's clear to everybody that what you're using is the health system. You can't go after somebody who has claimed an illness, and that was his defense. That was how he got out of everything, is that he claimed that he actually went to the hospital. He was there for a couple of hours. They said it was nothing but anxiety. And then he came back and took a leave of absence to take care of his health. And that was just an excuse for him to bone up, get an attorney on board so that he could claim he was being harassed and get a payout.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, the only one thing I say, I think there's a lot of balls in the air, not just one, when it comes to this and what's coming on in Paso. There's a lot of things that are a little odd, let's say, that the city's dealt with in the last year or two. And so I think there's pressure on everybody in Paso at this point, let alone, you know, Ty feeling a lot of it because, you know, he's you know, in theory, it appears that, you know, well, legally, I would say he is, he serves at the council's whim, but it's really, it seems like he's kind of pushing the council to do things and might have his fingers in things. That's, you know, a broad statement, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but it looks like he's pushed for certain things, and he's pushed council members when the, you know, in my belief, he's there to serve them, not to influence them.
Well, and that's right. Tom Frucci used to say, I'm here to serve at the pleasure of the council. But first you have to have an aggressive council. You have to have a council that knows what it's doing so they can direct their city manager. The law says you can't tell the city manager what to do and how to do it, but you can certainly make your wishes known and you can direct them. This council did not do that. They just let him go and let him have free will to do anything and everything that he chose to do. And one of those things, going back to Dixon, was that he signed a brand new contract with Dixon Resources for the parking before the council voted to continue with the parking. So he already knew that they were going to go forward with the parking, and that is so unethical. That is, I was blown away that he did that, and he got defensive about it.
Thank you very much for calling in. We're going to have to take a word from our sponsors. And I had not known that, and I'm glad that you brought that to the show. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
And now the latest news in Paso Robles from the mattress specialist, Rich London.
Gary, we've got a national retailer, huge, that is unloading their warehouses full of mattresses, and we're able to pick them up cheap. So we're going to have, for example, Simmons, Sealy, Casper, I can get Tempur-Pedic, and other brands, Stearns & Foster's even, and they're at super low prices.
Thank you, Rich London, the mattress specialist, 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
We all spend a lot of our lives looking through glass. I'm Brian Carroll from A1 Glass, where our family of glass experts have been handling all things glass since 1992. If you're a homeowner looking to upgrade, A1 Glass sets the standard in our industry, using only the top brand names like Milgard. It's our dedication to a 5-star service that has made us the Central Coast go-to glass company. Contact A1 Glass today. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Ask A1 Glass about Milgard windows and doors full lifetime warranty on select products.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. And we have another caller calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, sir. We can.
Okay. Here's the transaction. When Dixon first came, she came with a 5-day-a-week ending at 6 o'clock in the evening. And the merchant said, well, we'll give it a try. Well, it wasn't working, and they were losing money like crazy. So then Dixon said to the city manager, well, we'll change it to 7 days and end it at 8 o'clock at night, which, of course, they didn't get input from Main Street. They didn't get input from the merchants. And they just did it, and of course, it killed all the locals. The locals hated it. And so then, from then on, Main Street has been against the paid parking because it just was killing the businesses. So in the end, it took not only a referendum sign-up, but it took Gary Lehrer to send a cease and desist letter because the way they handled the change in the from 5 days to 7 days and the hours was done by a resolution, which was illegal. They didn't do a modification of the ordinance. So anyway, my request to the city council that's never been answered is, how many of the people that were paid fines got refunds? They give me a figure, but they don't tell me the numbers.
Right. Yeah. And that was something I was alluding to earlier in the show, that they just didn't come out and give the money back like they should have. If you got a fine, they know your license plate number. They can track you down and give you your money back. You don't need to go ask for it.
Yeah, they had it all. They had it all. They just did. They attached a waiver where people had to sign a waiver to sue the city to get the refund, which and I don't know how many didn't sign the waiver and still requested the refund, because they won't tell you that either.
Right. No. Yeah, there's a lot of information that didn't come out, or just wasn't, I guess it's just forthright. They weren't forthright with things, and they should have been, and they should have been proactive. It would have led a long way for goodwill, but instead they kind of made the people that got fined, and how many of those people that were from out of this area, they never knew anything. They're not going to ask for their money back. They never knew, too.
When the school board members, trustees, were attacking Chris Bausch, the way that got resolved was through the grand jury. If they don't get this one resolved, it may end up before the grand jury.
And how do you feel about the request for the $2 million payout?
That's the moot. The whole thing about his demand is bye-bye. He's not going to make it ever again.
It's not over.
I know why.
Well,
I can't tell you the factual circumstances, but I can infer that it revolves around the tape.
I have been told that's part of the concern about the tape is that there was a push to say that meeting was to get him to stop harassing him, and he didn't. And the tape shows that is not what happened in that meeting.
I know.
But he has till March 16th to file a lawsuit. He can sue that. Once the insurance company rejected his claim, the Ty Lewis can file a suit against the city up until March 16th.
I guarantee he's not going to. I guarantee he's not going to. That's why he came back to work.
And is he back at work? Has anyone seen him actually show up?
He is back at work.
Have you seen him in the building?
One of the complaints about people observing the city council meetings and the activities of a city manager is many of us felt the assistant was doing more of the work than the city manager.
And I have talked to people in the city who said, yes, he's going back to the city council meetings. And yes, he's meeting John Hammond at Deeds. But no, he has not walked back into the city administration offices. Are you sure that he has been in there?
I saw him at the city council when Linda English did her thing against him.
Well, and again, that's what I was told, was that he is going to the city council meeting, but he isn't going into the administration office.
Who knows? Who cares?
Well, he's getting paid, too.
I love the assistant city manager. He's doing a beautiful job. Have a nice day, people.
Good day.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you very much for calling in. And I'm not sure what he's doing, but I do know that he was off in April, but maybe May or June, for an extended period of time. I was told at that time he first tried to get a payout after the meeting. Mm-hmm. And then he waited till August, and then again he filed for a payout. And then when he knew it was going to be tough, he then filed an addendum. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, Karen. I guess it's one word, maybe two Latin words. So the one word is projection. So anytime someone is accusing you of doing something, you just turn it back around and say, okay, why are they doing this? And the two Latin words are cui bono, who benefits. So Ty's in a little bit different position because he's, as a city manager, he is not a, quote, elected official. He's an employee, and the city council then is officially, as I understand it, his employer. They make decisions about his employment, his salary. They also make decisions about the city attorney and the city attorney's salary and our contract and what's going on there. So to the extent that staff have been running these boards and councils all across our county, all across the state, and all across the nation, when you have unelected officials, unelected boards, I'll put it that way, that are making the decisions, and then it's just a ministerial thing to have the actual council or the actual board vote on it, that's a problem. We're supposed to have representative republic where we have representation. So this is something that is systemic because it's with every single school district, special district, county, city council. The League of Cities is a big one. So all of these boards, regional boards, are making decisions and policies on behalf of their even state legislature. But what's happening is it can never be transparent. It can never be accountable. And that's where the problem lies. I want to know, as the truth keeps coming out, and thank you for bringing the truth out, I want to know who benefits from, you know, having, I'll say, Clive Pinder, for example, or the Tribune, or, you know, when Ty Lewis is coming out and writing these articles. So the Tribune is putting out hit pieces toward conservatives, toward Republicans in our county, and to me, it's just a propaganda arm of the political party coming forward, and to me, it obfuscates, and I know that there's more there. You know, I know, a lot of people know that this, we have just scratched the surface, but people are benefiting, and it has not been transparent, it has not been accountable.
Darsha, thank you very much for calling in. I have two text messages. One of them says, I have seen Ty at the city offices. So we have someone saying that he is back at work. We have another one. The second message says, what were Police Chief Ty Lewis's qualifications that he should have been selected for city manager? I don't know.
I don't either. I remember when it came out, there was some articles, I can't remember who wrote them, basically saying these are the qualifications, and I think he might have actually had some schooling, but don't quote me on that. I remember reading something, because I had the same question, and there was an explanation. I'm not saying it was a good one or a bad one. I just do remember there was something out there at the time, but it's been a little while. I don't keep track of Paso quite as well as I do the county.
My top concerns currently have been the just the weird allegations. The emails, you know, you weren't at that meeting. You lied about being at the meeting. And then I saw you walking with these two people. And then I think, I can't remember what it was next. And then you're hiding behind the building. It's one thing after another. And he has accused me, I think, of about four crimes. He accused me of criminal conspiracy. He accused me of violating the Public Records Act. And now he's accused me of extortion. And I'm thinking, you were the chief of police? And you are accusing me of crimes? And again, he didn't care that the DA didn't take the case. He continued to put it out there.
Right, yeah. And you see, that's just something in his arsenal, I think. So they, you know, people like to throw the mud, and that's a way to throw mud, is to put it out there and then just keep going with it. You see that tactic used quite a bit. It's unfortunate. They're trying to get public opinion. You know, it's trying to ruin your credibility with lies, unfortunately.
And he has some requirements for professional behavior under his contract. But, Eric, I want to thank you for coming in last minute. Dan Blackburn was sick today, so Eric Gorham, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Yeah, I look forward to maybe do this again with Dan and hit some more topics up that he can answer a little better.
Sounds great. I will be back next Wednesday.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by the Work Family Ranch, the perfect outdoor activity for any level rider. Book your horseback ride today, 805-467-3362, or go to workranch.com.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.